You can read the slide of the title. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, which are also my cooperators, primarily from Ecovative Design, Evan Baer, Gavin McIntyre, Allison, and I'm not sure exactly how to say Allison's last name, so you can see it there. Of course, John Wanura over here, and Matthew Pelletier. These are, I'll cut to the chase and give you the glamour up front, and then we'll talk about what we did. We're still continuing on with the value-added processing work that we've been doing associated with the gen waste. And there was some conference we went to, and a guy met a guy, and he said, "Hey, you need to call this guy." So, some of the stuff that you are doing, and this guy, what he's needing, I think it'd kind of marry. And so I called Evan Baer, talking to him, and sure enough, it was a fit. Polystyrene, give you a little background to this. Polystyrene is one of the most widely used plastics. It comes in three primary forms: extruded polystyrene, which you know of in yogurt cups, smoke alarm housings, yogurt disposable cutlery, CD, DVD containers. The expanded polystyrene foam is the packaging materials that you see on computers that are form-fitted, or the peanuts. The polystyrene foam, the extruded polystyrene foam, is primarily the insulation boards. The term styrofoam is really from Dow Chemical. We often refer to styrofoam, and we talk really about extruded polystyrene, the foam. But just like Coke is often referred to as for all soft drinks, instead of the one specifically. Polystyrene is non-biodegradable. So what does all that have to mean with anything? Well, it's an $8 billion a year industry. Is what that is. That's a small industry that can work. And so really what we're looking at is replacing or using the materials in the packaging and in the insulation, which is $2.3 billion and insulation is $1.3 billion. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about taking this material right here, the gen waste, and you move it down. You take primarily the burrs, not the sticks. The sticks can come, but they need to be sized properly. The sticks can't just in and of themselves. It's real critical on sizing. And then you grow this on them, and you have a nice material like this, which makes these. And that's really the process. The benefit that you gain, you make stuff like this for the packaging that are mold fitting, I mean, or form fitting to molds. And then you also make this paneling for this insulation. And all of this is the fungal species grown on the substrate of cotton, of a blend and sized properly cotton gin product, a biomass, and the material has a lot of real nice properties. Weight wise, you're just a little heavier than styrofoam, but you're not incredibly amount. It's not a significant amount. So the objectives, what we wanted to do is we want to take six blends of them, and what we wanted to do was look at compressive strength, thermal conductivity, and flexural strength. There's also flame retardance, water vapor transmission, and mold resistance are some other things we're going to take a look at. So for the compression strength, this is basically the STM method we used, two sets of species, or specimens rather in this case. Two sets of specimens were used. You had a high density and a lower density. The high density you grow to fit the mold, the lower density you let it grow and then you go back and cut the thing to the mold. There is a slight difference in the strength of those. Five replicates, this one was just one fungal species that was looked at. On the thermal conductivity, we looked at two fungal species. We still had the six blends and the reps. On flexural strength, we still had the two fungal species, and I'm not even going to pretend to say them, because that's not really, that's their end of it. But those are the two fungal species we looked at, the replicates and the spans that we evaluated. The compression strength, that data is still being looked at. The thermal conductivity, here you are, I'm going to give it to you in R values. Now one thing that this has over the expanded polystyrene is this is flame retardant. You can put a torch to it all day long and just sit there and have the torch burn, and whereas you're not going to do that to styrofoam or polystyrene. It doesn't happen. This material does have that property, just like a mushroom would. Here's the blends. The R values, as you can see, the expanded polystyrene can be from 2.63 to 3.75. The highest here was the Resinaceum Blend 1 here, which was 2.6, which was on the lower end. One of the main reasons is you can induce air and capture that air into expanded polystyrene as part of the manufacturing of it. But with these, the air pockets are obviously much different. And this is equivalent, though, to bat insulation fiberglass. This actually exceeds. These would exceed bat fiberglass of the same thickness. So the polystyrene, that's still being worked on as far as the R value goes. But there's some very promising blends there associated with that. If you look at the flexural stress here in PSI, the standard there is 9.06 for the expanded polystyrene, or that's what it tested at. And you can see the ones in green that exceeded that, and then the blend 2 that was slightly above that, and the others were lower than. This material is much more durable, can handle hard strikes without crumbling and falling apart. Here's some of the flammability. This is ongoing, as you can see. The vapor transmission is very positive because it does not. There's a water soaking test that's also associated, and it repels water just like the polystyrene. Mold resistance, it doesn't mold. This is not growing a fungal spore on there. I mean, a fungal species on there so that it creates spores. You're not going to have allergies. You don't have mold. You don't have any of that type of stuff associated. Most times, if somebody told you, I know what we'll do. We'll take this material, we'll grow a bunch of fungus on it, and then we'll slap it up in your wall. And then that'll be a good idea, and you won't have allergies or anything else associated with it. Well, people would think you're crazy, but this actually works very well in that regard, and it will not take mold. It doesn't do that. And it never reaches the spore state, so there's nothing allergenic about it. And that, you didn't even get my time. Did I have my time already? That's it. You got any questions? I'm done. Thank you. Yes?
You probably covered the message, but we were showing the R values.
Yes.
Was some of that low density and high density?
On those? No, that one wasn't the low density high density. That was all single density.
So the burrs are just serving as a substrate, a growth medium for this fungal matter, or is it mixed together in some way?
There's a blend. We make blends, so we put the food in there that they're going to use. And you're correct in that the burrs are the substrate. The burrs, in a certain size range, blended with other products that end up acting as the food, are the primary things for it. But the burrs themselves are the substrate. And obviously, the bigger the burr and the more undamaged it is, the better it is, because the lighter it is. Because then you have a medium that the fungus can fill the void, and it's light. You know, it's like picking up a mushroom. It's very light. So the more of that material that can be in there, the better. But it ties it all together with this substrate.
So if you pick this apart, you can pick out individual burrs.
That's correct. If you could separate them. The thing is, they actually bind in there so well, it's actually hard to take that material off the material it binds to. That's why they hold together so well. That's why the flexural strength is so good. Because it's not like, you know, most time you could take something and start breaking it apart and really get the individual pieces out. You have to get a pocket knife and start cutting that thing out of there to get a burr out.
Other questions?